Let's stand. It'll rest you just a minute, and let's call on God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Jesus, we need your help. We call on you, Lord, for our needs tonight to be supplied. We ask your blessings in the holy name of Jesus. We seek your face. Praise God, praise God. Shake hands with someone near you. Will you do this? Amen. Now you may be seated. I don't want you to be sick. I turn this heat down and the fan on. Is it getting cool back on this side? Are you uncomfortable? I'm not talking J.E. You couldn't freeze him out. All right. If you get cold, there's a fan on. That's all. But if you get cold, let someone know. We'll change that situation. Sister Doer's proven to me she's not cold. Amen. All right. I want some readers tonight. I don't want you to read unless you're going to read like you're preaching. You're part of the sermon tonight. Sam, I'm looking at you. You ready? All right. Turn to the book of Hezekiah. No. To the book of Acts, chapter 4. In a little while, I'll be calling on you and come up here where you can get to a mic. And I want you to read 1 through 7. Stop at the end of 7. Okay? Now, I'll give you a lesson here. I can't preach without giving young preachers a lesson. The way to remember a scripture when someone tells you to read it is repeat it after them. So when I say Acts 4, 1 through 7, say it, Sam. God, you've got it now. All right, come up here and sit in my seat tonight. Don't get any ideas, though. Brother Mark, I want you to read Acts 4, and that will be 8 through 12.
Acts 4, 8 through 12.
That's the way to do it. Praise God. Brother Johnny, I want you to read Acts 4, verses 13 through 20.
Acts 4, verses 13 through 20.
Man, these guys learn quick, don't they? I learned that a long time ago, especially when somebody asked me to read for them when they're preaching and they're giving out several scriptures. If you don't say it, you'll forget it because he rattles off something else. All right. I want to mention this thought tonight before we get into this. You may say, man, he's loaded tonight. Well, I'm watching the clock. The story is about the little boy that went to Sunday school with his dad. Or to church, and the preacher, they brought him a glass of water. And they said, what does that mean, Daddy? He said, it means that if he gets thirsty or dry, he's going to get a drink of water. Simple enough. Anybody ought to understand that, but little boys don't always understand. And about that time, he opened his Bible and started reading. He said, now what's he going to do, Daddy? He said, he's fixing to read his text. But before he read, he took his pocket watch out and laid that on the pulpit. He said, what does that mean, Daddy? He said, that doesn't mean anything. Hallelujah. I know it's not funny, but even I know. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not threatening you. I'm not going to be long-winded, I promise. Say thank God. Face it, unless a guy is delivering the mail, ain't none of us like long-winded preachers. Now, if the blessing of God's in it, that's a different story. We lose consciousness of time. I want to talk to you about good news and bad times. I mean, you can just be all burdened down, and somebody come along with some real good news, it lifts you up. Amen. Bad news can pull you down, too. Rundle had several in our baptistry unless they baptized in Jesus' name. So he didn't hurt anything there. But he took the folks to baptize them, and he baptized two. The others didn't know they were going to be immersed. They thought they were going to be sprinkled. And they didn't go prepared. They're going to be baptized this coming week, I understand. Sometimes we forget to tell them the whole story. Now, that happened right here. You remember the black brother? I don't remember his name, the fellow that used to come here. I remember this much about him. We took a group picture of our Sunday school, and he was standing on the corner, the only black in the crowd, And he's told me, he said, I just love to show this picture to my friends, and I say to them, see if you can find me on here. I finally made a hit, didn't I? All right. Well, when he was baptized, in fact, while Brother Franks is working with us, I told Brother Franks, I believe Brother whatever his name is about ready to be baptized. I want you to go over to his house and explain Jesus' name to him. So he did. And convinced the fellow that he should be baptized in Jesus' name. Came back with an announcement, we'll baptize him next service night, Wednesday night or whatever. But he or I didn't think about the man not knowing that baptism is by immersion. He was raised in the Anglican Church in England, and he had never heard of anyone being immersed. So when we started to baptize him, first my wife went back to him and asked him, did he bring any extra clothes? He said, no. So she went and got him some clothes to be baptized in, and this was a pretty upstanding black man, a diesel mechanic, and I mean, he wasn't just the cotton patch black folks, if you think of the word I wanted to use. But so he changed clothes, and I know he was still wondering what this was all about. We got him up to this baptistry, and he come up there and stuck his head over the tank. Brother Frank said, get in the tank. And he said, sir. He said, get in the tank. And he still thought he was going to pour water on top of it. And when I believe he would have got the Holy Ghost, but that was one scared black. I told on him in his presence later. I said, he came up out of that water and he looked around absolutely scared. And then he said, now I know why I'm the only black in this church. They drowned the rest of them. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody say, I love the Lord. Reach out for his presence, will you? Praise God. You know, I was talking about good feelings and bad times. Depression. Some time ago, I said in the presence of my wife, I don't know what it is to be depressed. I hear people talking about this. I don't understand this. I don't know what it is. And she said quickly, it's because you're depressed all the time. But depression is a sure sign that we've lost our mental balance. I don't mean you're crazy. It just means that you've lost your mental balance. Downward. I mean, you're down. When you're depressed, you can't think right and make right decisions because you have lost your mental balance downward. There's another side to that record. Or maybe upward. You know, if you've lost your mental balance when you're excited, that's an upward trend. But some people have got so happy, they just don't know what they're doing. Of course, we like to hit a happy level there and never get so carried away, but you know what you're doing. You might get out of order if you don't know what you're doing, regardless of how happy you are. I have never fallen for the idea that you just got so happy and started speaking tongues and could not stop. I think the Scripture bears out a little bit different in the 14th chapter of St. John, that you do have control of yourself. Maybe you should not always control it, but under certain circumstances you are supposed to control it. But depression. I'm talking about downward depression now. It's caused by several things. One thing, it could be caused by overwork. It's bad to be a workaholic. Almost as bad as being lazy. Laziness is not a good characteristic in anybody. But to be a workaholic is not good either. I'm talking about there should be a balance in one's life. But as I study about these things, let's keep this in mind on the matter of overwork. Every ship or boat has a load line. And when you sink beneath the load line, beware. Like Rendell, when he went down here to the lake, when they were renting boats at the lake. And of course, Rendell's a little on the heavy side, and kin to the Rookses. I've never known a Rooks that could sit down without just falling down, including my light wife. When they sat down in a chair, they just fall down. Dad Rooks did the same thing. I mean, ka-chum, like that, you know. Rendell rented a boat. The front of it was on the dock. The back was out in the lake. And he walks back to the back of the boat and sits down on the back seat, but he sits down hard, like with all of his 200 and none of your business pounds. And when he sat down, it just kept going down up to his armpits. Sitting in his boats, he overloaded it. Why carry the load of yesterday's problems? Why worry about the anxieties of tomorrow? Shoulder the responsibilities of today, but the things of yesterday that can be forgotten and sometimes must be forgotten, don't carry them to the extent of overloading your wagon. And don't over-worry about tomorrow, because you don't know all about tomorrow. It may be fixed before you get there. Praise God, because we are serving a God-fixing ability, God. Say, praise the Lord. I understand. I read this from a book. I just had a few things here to say along this line. I understand that loss of sleep can bring about depression. Sleep is nature's medicine. Some of us take too much medicine. But even geniuses must have a certain amount of sleep that their minds might function right. Of course, on the other hand, you could overdo that too. Amen. There's another one. I understand that everybody's got to eat. Come on, agree with me. Everybody's got to eat. But overfeeding, too much fuel in a furnace means a dull fire. I mean, you can smother the thing out. And oh, we better just say, God help us on that one. But I will say this, as you grow older, your body needs less food and craves more. I know by experience. Listen to this, some other man's idea, but I think he's right. Diseases originate in the stomach and end up at the person's weakest point in their life. If you are eating things that's hurtful to you physically, you are very foolish. If you cannot stand to eat Mexican-type food, and you just eat it anyhow, and then sit on the side of the bed and say, I don't believe I ate the whole thing. There goes, well, that don't bother me if I eat moderately at the right time of day. But seriously, folks, but I'm thinking about more things than just eating in the natural. You know, when we work against ourselves, spiritually or physically, we are putting ourselves in a position of bad news. Of bad news. But I'm glad to tell you that in the midst of bad news, I've got some good news. Salvation. I was in a restaurant today, and a lady, we went up to the fish place, and she enjoyed eating so much. I didn't even know the lady, but she got up and passed by our table, and she said, I come just that much sinning. And I said, I didn't say anything. She said, I almost became a glutton, which in her estimation was sinning. Hey, To eat, to overeat one time does not make you a glutton.
That's right.
But when you get to where you're living to eat only, you are a glutton.
Right.
If that's your life and you just want to eat and sleep, that's bad. But don't you think it's time that we become a little bit more gluttonous after spiritual things? The Bible teaches us to seek the best gifts. Earnestly contend is another word there. Desire the best gifts. You're not robbing anybody when you try to get all the glory of God in your soul that you can. You're not robbing anybody when you let all the gifts operate through your life, or as many as you can have. You're not hurting anybody when you speak with tongues in every prayer session. It's good for your spirit to pray. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're not hurting anybody in your own private devotion to pray through until you pray in tongues or sing in tongues. Hallelujah. Somebody said, do y'all still speak in tongues in your church? I said, not too much. Do you shout too much in your church? Not too much. We don't have too much of anything spiritual. We might have too little. We worry about being in order sometimes and not being out of order, but our out of order sometimes is failing to be in God's order.
That's right.
Say, don't you think it's time that we do and receive what we know that God wants us to have in the apostolic church? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let me read to you a passage of Scripture from Acts, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Both to do and teach. Everybody say, do and teach.
Do and teach.
What good news. Praise God. Just to know what Jesus began to do and to teach. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, everybody said, seen? And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They saw and they heard things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What did he say? I don't know all the things he said, but I know some of the things he said in his resurrection. Some of the things he said was to Thomas, feel. Put forth your hand. Feel my side. Feel the nail prints. Hallelujah. He identified himself to Philip. Just prior to this, he identified himself to Philip by saying, have I been so long time with you and yet you don't know who I am? He said it so distinctly that he said, when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. He didn't say one just like him. He said, you have seen the Father.
Hallelujah.
I know this in his resurrection to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He spake to them and said, O fools and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have said. He was saying, you're foolish to be slow to hear what the prophets have said concerning me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. 40 days he walked with them. I don't know all he said. I don't know all he did. But he said some beautiful things. He spake to them concerning the church. The Bible says kingdom of God. As far as this dispensation is concerned, that's the church. And the future is going to wind up in glory, heaven as we call it. But as of now, this is the kingdom of God. And men and women must press into the kingdom of God. While I'm on that, let me tell you something. If you're not in the church and you want to be in the church, you're probably going to have to press your way into the church. You're going to have to fight your way into the church. You're going to have to push your way into the church. You're going to have to push forward and get rid of everything and push aside every doctrine and everything that would keep you away from the presence of God. But I've got good news for you. Even though there's a lot of opposition against you coming into the church, a lot of opposition against you from being spiritual, you can be spiritual. As I've told you, when my mom first received the Holy Ghost, I was just a little boy, living in a little community called Rich Woods, Arkansas. And way in the night, for some reason, my mother got to praying, I guess, and got happy and started speaking with tongues. She always kept a glass of water beside the bed, and I guess she'd get thirsty during the night. She got speaking in tongues. My dad didn't know anything about this, and he began to say, "Delphi, Delphi, Delphi." And she didn't respond. It was just glory, hallelujah, and speaking in tongues, and he grabbed that water and threw it in her face. She quit speaking in tongues. But she testified. Praise God. She went on and testified to her thinking, to her prayers, to the reason she was speaking with tongues. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, regardless of who don't understand, you can have the victory of God in yourself. You think I'm going to hold back on my spiritual experience because somebody doesn't understand? Of course not. You think I'm going to hold back because somebody don't believe it? Of course not. I've got good news for you, mister. This is real. When we were discussing the debate that Marvin Hicks had here in the auditorium with Mr. Weaver, Mr. Weaver and his associates said, "Now we have a request that there be no outburst of praise or amens or anything from the audience." And I said, "Mr. Weaver, we can't do that. Let me tell you a story. And I know you're not going to believe this, but I've got good news to tell you. I want you to hear this testimony. I know a young lady that when she was 7 years old, she had polio." I was telling Mr. Weaver and his associates this, his elders. And I said, "Much prayer was made. I know this to be a fact," I told him. "And instantly, God raised that girl up when Dr. Robinette and Dr. Ryan had said they couldn't offer anything short of an iron lung." I said, "I know you don't believe what I'm telling you, but I'm going to tell you anyhow." I wasn't embarrassed, I wasn't scared, and I wasn't mad. I just felt like he needed to hear that. And I said, if they get to talking about healing and miracles, if that young lady would stand and say, "I'm a witness that I had polio and I'm well today," do you think I'd stop her, Mr. Weaver? That young lady was my daughter. And you think I would stop her? God forbid, if she stood in the presence of all 800 people and said I was healed of polio, I'm not about to stop her. Praise God, praise God. Look at the blind man who was healed. And somebody said, "Is that the fellow that was blind?" And they said, "Yay." And they said, "Don't you know that healing is a sinner?" And they questioned the blind man himself. "Didn't you know that he's a sinner that healed you?" He said, "I don't know about that. But I know one thing. I used to be blind, but now I can see." Hallelujah, hallelujah. I testify right now for Brother Yeager. Don't tell me God can't heal. Amen. He's still alive tonight. Clap your hands if you believe it. No more did the church get started. No more did the church get started, and things begin to happen. Of course, initially, at least 120 or thereabout received the Holy Ghost. Immediately, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Soon after the happening that these brethren are going to read about, 5,000 souls came into the church. Oh, what a revival. Thank God. You say, "How come we can't have revivals like this today?" These are preachers that are reaping the benefits of the ministry of Jesus Christ. I mean, many had come in contact with the ministry of Jesus Christ, and now the early stages of the church. What a revival. What a revival. That's great and that's good. But as healings begin to take place and miracles begin to take place, opposition begin to arise. As long as we don't have anything happen miraculously in the apostolic church, all of our neighbors are going to leave us alone. But if things begin to happen miraculously, you'd be surprised at some of the neighbors that will rise up in opposition. There are people that would rather people would stay crippled as to see them healed by the power of God. There are people that would rather see a blind man stay blind as to know and have to acknowledge that they were healed by the power of God. In this case, a crippled man, the third chapter of Acts. A crippled man that was carried and laid daily at the beautiful gate that led into the temple. Under the old law, and as far as he is concerned, he was still living under the old law. A lot of people didn't know it at that time, and a lot of folks don't know it even till today. But as different ones passed by, and all he expected apparently to receive from them was money, alms. But when Peter and John came by, they offered to him something greater than money. They confessed, like most Pentecostals, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. Come on, praise God, he did. Immediately, this caused confusion. It caused trouble. It caused accusation. And they called him in and talked to them about this situation. And the story goes on even to the 11th chapter. And we'll have Brother Sam, I believe, is first to read, if you will, verses 1 through whatever. All right?
And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
Woo! Wait just a minute. Through who?
Through Jesus.
Preach it. Read it.
And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were with were of the kindred and of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?
Hey, wouldn't you like to read a little bit more?
Yeah, let me get one.
Sit down. They laid hands on them.
Yeah.
There's two types of laying on hands.
Right.
One of it is mean, notorious, fighting, dragging.
Without prayer.
And the other one is a type that the apostles used and the church's commission used to pray and to lay hands on, expecting supernatural results. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They didn't deny that the man had been healed. How could they deny it? He was dancing and leaping
yes.
and jumping.
Yes.
I just want to know, how did you do it? Yes. Praise God. Who has the next scripture? Come to the mic, Brother Mark, and read it. Get the anointing and get with it. Praise God.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Filled with what?
The Holy Ghost.
What's the Holy Ghost?
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Preach it. Read it.
Said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name, N-A-M-E,
read!
Of Jesus Christ of
What's
Nazareth,
his name?
Jesus.
Of who?
Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. This is what I like. Neither is there salvation in any other. I don't believe you heard that. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, N-A-M-E, under
it.
Sir?
What about Father?
No.
What about Son?
No.
What about Holy Ghost?
No.
What about Peter?
No.
What name are we talking about?
Jesus.
Ready
under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, worship God. Worship God. Worship God. Come on, Johnny, you want to read, aren't you? Amen.
Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled.
Wait a minute. Somebody got the wires crossed. You think these fellows were ignorant and unlearned? They knew some things other folks didn't know. They might have not known physics, but they knew some things that most people didn't know. Go ahead and read it, though. They perceived.
And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done to them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem."
Glory.
And we cannot deny it.
Glory.
"But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard."
I like that part, "which we have seen and heard." Praise God. With many other infallible proofs did Jesus express himself to those. He spoke to them and he showed them. They heard and they saw. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, it came to their knowledge that he was the mighty God raised from the dead and had power to not only heal the sick and miraculously restore the cripple, but he is able to save to the uttermost. And we can't help but shout about the things which we have seen and the things which we have heard. Mister, we can't stop. We just can't help but tell what we know. You call us ignorant, you call us unlearned, but we've been with Jesus. Praise God. You think we don't know what we're talking about, but take a look at the lame man.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Correction. Take a look at the man that was lame, but now is made whole by the name of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Lord. God, we appreciate you, Lord.
Oh, God, speak to us, Lord.
Speak, my Lord.
Jesus, speak to us, Lord. Give us of your word in our heart. A brother said just the other day that there was a person that he had not been in contact with for several months, and he desired very much to be in contact with this person again, so he prayed about it. He did not want to make the contact himself. He felt it should be the other way around, and he asked God to put it on the mind of this person to call. And he said, "Lord, let them place a call in Jesus' name," and the phone rang. So he picked it up and he said, hello, and called a person by name, several hundred miles away. And they said, how did you know that was me? He said, I told God to put it in your mind to ring my phone. You don't believe it? It worked anyhow. Amen. Praise God. Remember Brother Young's testimony? Stranded between here and Stuttgart, a sick older man. His car broke down. He testified from this pulpit. And he said he didn't know what he was going to do. And said a car passed by and he said, I called on my Jesus. And he said, I said to my Jesus, stop that car. And he said, I was a little disappointed when it kept going. But it didn't go very far till the brake lights come on. He said, my Jesus caused him to turn that car around. He said it. We just can't keep from telling the things that God's done for us, you see. And said, the man came back and said, can I help you? And he said, don't. And he took him to Stuttgart and got his car fixed and all that. He said, I never have stopped to help anyone on the side of the road. I don't know what made me. And Brother Young said, well, I know what. Yeah. I told my Jesus to stop you.
Yeah.
Praise God. You say, well, that's a little thing. It's a big thing if you need help. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Sing it again. Maybe God's talking to somebody here tonight. Needs to be in this
seek
order. Come on.
Lord.
Oh,
seek my Lord.
Oh, yes.
Seek and I'll be quick.
Oh,
here that needs God in your life, and you'll come forward tonight. Would you come? Sing it one more time. Speak, my Lord. Oh, speak, my Lord. Hallelujah.
Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee.
Oh, speak, my Lord. Amen. Would you join hands with whoever you're standing close to? You mind doing that? Praise God. Let's call on the Lord. Jesus, we love you.
Lord, we're so thankful for you.
Oh, mercy.
God,
oh, mercy.
Move, God, we make you strong and sweet, Lord. God, we make you king and walk with you, Lord. God, we make your eyes big, Lord. God, we make you with us, Lord. God, have your head. God, have your head.
Oh, glory! I taught, you remember, in Sunday morning, I taught meat in my house. Someone went away that don't come here all the time, probably don't understand preaching very good, and said, hey, Brother Rutledge really giving the devil on tithe. Only he didn't say devil. He talked about the devil's dwelling place. But I wasn't preaching on tithe. That was just a sideline, you know. The message was that there might be meat in God's house. Would you believe somebody went away today and said, Rutledge preached against beards and mustaches? And I didn't. I preached on the reason. Well, know what I preached on? Why? Where do you get your pattern? Or who are you trying to be like? One fellow in his sermon, Brother Warbington told us about, said something about ladies wearing breeches, and he left it at that. Went on and preached a beautiful sermon. And the lady came up and said, I didn't like your message. And he said, what message? She said, that message you preached on breeches. And he said, well, what else did I say? She said, I don't know. And he said, if I hadn't said britches, you wouldn't remember a thing I said, would you? Amen. All right. I just beg you, please listen to the preacher, whoever's preaching. They're not always preaching against everything that they say. They're trying to enlighten you as to the world that we're living in, as to why we do things or do not do things. Everybody say, I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.